The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, that dumb fish who doesn't trust his gut, Paul Dana Jr., and Fletcher Page take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the Deuce, the BBP2 Bengals Beat. Presented, as always, by our good friends, 50 West Brewing Company. We are Bengals Beat Writers, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer, Fletcher Page. I'm Paul Dander Jr. What's up, Fletcher?
Feeling good. I'm feeling good. End of the week. It's been a fun one.
Has it?
No.
You don't have to say that it's been fun. We can admit that it's not always fun. It's all right, though. It's all right. Bye week is almost upon us. I think everyone is looking at that bye week and saying, boy, it's right there. Just
it's
get me to
nice.
That baby.
That's right.
What did Preston Brown say the other week? Crawling to the bye week.
Inch by inch.
Yeah. They try to get there. So Bengals Bucks on Sunday. We've got some stuff to get to. PFF, my man Austin Gale will join us. Man, the PFF numbers this week, there's some crazy stuff. He's got a crazy linebacker stat. Bengals linebackers in coverage that will make people absolutely vomit. I'm talking projectile, multiple garbage cans. I'm talking that nasty. Because it's a truly awful stat. It is sickening.
Well, we knew that they weren't playing well, and that's a position that's sort of not quite as ravaged as tight end, but the injuries there, the attrition.
The poor play.
And that has
yeah, and then the not play. Being good.
And then not good.
So we'll have that with Austin Gale coming up later, and also we will have Sleepy Carl Lawson. Carl came in to BTS this week. God bless him. Woke up. Came on in, and he was still a little sleepy, but that actually made for a highly entertaining hot seat, I must say, where Carl was pretty funny, and at one point, like, he literally was just, like, rubbing his hand over his face like a guy who just can't believe that this is happening right now.
I like that Doc kind of found something that it was humorous, but Carl didn't really want to go along with it, and I like that Doc just went all in on
yeah.
it.
I'm going to continue to just beat this to a pulp. So anyway, we'll have Carl Lawson talking about pass rushing and then his sleepy hot seat with Doc. Carl with an epic fail on player password this week.
I had a hard time sitting there.
It's hard to watch.
I'm glad it was only for 40 seconds each round.
Yeah.
It's funny.
We always talk about how fast that time goes.
That was slow.
It went real. It felt long. It felt like about 40 minutes, not 40 seconds.
I was saying, throw the damn towel.
I mean, it was Rocky IV style. This was supposed to be an exhibition. I mean, the low number. I remember thinking how bad Gio had done, and he got 8, and Carl Lawson got 3.
Well, I gotta say, you loading up strip sack.
I didn't think strip sack should have been that hard.
Listen, the key to this game I've learned now from watching 4 weeks of it is that you can't – I think there's a tendency to repeat yourself when you're trying to give clues.
Yeah.
If the first one doesn't work, you can't just be like, you know.
Yeah, you can't, or keep saying it again.
Right.
What I do. Yeah. Or like when Carl didn't know what ESPN was, and Lindsay just kept saying, it's big. It's true. I mean, you probably should have known ESPN.
It's easy for me to, on the outside, pick it apart.
Understandable. So anyway, we'll get to player password. We will not make you listen to that here on the podcast. But anyway, that's all on the back end. Let's talk about where some interesting things that happened this week on Wednesday. You know, the Marvin Lewis press conference is not normally interesting, and this one not particularly interesting necessarily, except for one thing that came of it, and that was questions about Vontaze Burfict, which I think are all natural. He played poorly. He's hurt again. He has not really provided any lift since returning. In fact, maybe negative. So the question was asked how he thinks he's playing, and he said he is not playing as well as he has in the past. And then the silence took over. And then and James Rapine accredited him following up, saying, well, what does he need to do better or whatever? And Marvin basically saying, I'm not going to talk about Vontaze. It's not relevant. And then another follow-up was attempted, and that was followed with, well, you guys can keep asking questions, but you need to find somebody else to answer them. And then that continuing even further. As a new person, what do you take away when you I think those of us that have been here for a long time tend to get jaded. We hear this stuff all the time. I've seen a million of those interactions. I'm curious your eye on that.
I've got nuanced feelings here.
Okay.
I see both sides of this. I think that Marvin clearly doesn't want to talk about Tez. That's well understood. And I think it all stems just from the suspensions, fines, whatever. So I understand why he would be short about it. I think he used the wrong word about it not being relevant.
Yeah.
So Tez is coming back from suspension. You also throw in the injuries and all the distractions. I think it's a reasonable question to ask how he's playing.
Oh, no, I don't have any problem with any of the questions.
Right.
There should have been more.
But to Marvin's point, we're not sitting here going, how do you think Dre Kirkpatrick's playing? How do you think CJ Uzama's playing? Like, we're not running down the list of players. But so I think in his head, you know, he's just trying to get out of there. I just think he used the wrong word to try to push back on.
About not being relevant?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if he was. Look, I don't really have a problem with that. I honestly don't. I mean, I from Marvin's perspective, he does not want to go down a road where he says something that he's going to regret. And he tried to get out of it, and still kind of said something that ended up being slightly regrettable. He does not want to sit here and because he knows it only fans the flames of people talking about Tez. He wants to try to take Tez out of the conversation. Because, like he said 2 weeks ago when I asked him about it, was I'm not going to comment about 55 because everybody wants to comment about 50. Everybody has an opinion on him. And they are obviously at odds with the league over that. That has also been well documented by us and others. And they believe that he's being unfairly taken in any more that Marvin does to put out there, he feels like would just make it worse. So he's trying to not go down that road. And he did say he's, you know, in a very nice, polite, soft, bubble-wrapped way, he's playing like poo. I mean, really? Yeah, there's really, you can't hide from that. It's obvious. I mean, anybody that knows at all what they're watching knows that he's not played well. He's been so focused on fighting everyone and doing other stuff that, I mean, there are multiple times where he literally has his back to the play that's still going on because he's trying to yell at a coach or push another player or whatever. I mean, multiple times in the last couple of weeks where that has happened, where he has just quit on a play to get involved in something else while it's going on, sometimes close to him. And I think Marv does not want to go down that road.
Right. And I feel like he was immediately defensive, as he is prone to be. Marv was, once the question came in. I just think he used, instead of saying it's not relevant, of course it's relevant, he should have just stuck to the Marvin playbook. He should have just said he's got to play better.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
No.
And so it became a story.
And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's a story. I'm just going to – I actually don't really have a problem with anything that Marvin did. From his angle, from his angle, I understand not wanting to talk about Perfect. I don't agree with anything way that Vontaze has been treated in this building for multiple years now. I've talked about that often. But in this particular case, I understand the head coach wanting to try to keep Perfect out of the headlines in this particular instance, knowing that he's probably going to end up saying something he's going to regret and just wanting to not do that. So I don't have a problem with his angle. I obviously use poor wording, and I think that they should have dealt with this whole situation differently way back. But anyway, that's kind of what happened with that. So that was a thing. The other thing this week, it continues to be the injury stuff. I mean, a fifth of the roster, the current 53, not counting IRs, not counting practice squad, did not practice on Wednesday. They're just this group is just so beat up. Hey, good news first. Billy Price returned to practice. I mean, he's going to have to be up. He may not be able to play, but he's going to have to be up as like an emergency backup interior lineman on Sunday because there's so many hurt guys. You're going to have other hurt guys that have to be up because there's like going to be your whole inactives is all going to be dudes who literally can't play, and there'll be a couple others that will still have to be active.
I had just now confirmed that Billy Price has 2 feet because he's been in that boot the whole entire time I've been here. You want me to run through these injuries?
Let's quickly run through what we know about all of them. I'm not going to turn it into a huge deal, but let's quickly run through what we know about all of them.
Yeah, Gio with the knee, we expect him to be out through the bye.
Yep.
Tez with the hip.
It doesn't look like he's going to play this week. I mean, he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. We didn't even hardly see him out there. Unless I do not expect him to play on Sunday. I mean, he's definitely going to need to go through the bye, I would think.
All right. A smart person says that Darquez Dennard has a sternoclavicular.
It's a normal person. It's a joint, yeah.
A normal person says just a shoulder.
Just a shoulder. Yeah, I expect him to probably be back through the bye, and I would say Baltimore is probably the one to circle there. It's probably what they're aiming for. I mean, maybe he could come back earlier and play against New Orleans, but more than likely I would think Baltimore or even, you know, after that. But that's probably the one circled.
Trio here that returned to practice on Thursday, Jake Fisher, Clark Harris, Bobby Hart, all those guys were back.
Yeah, so that's good.
Dre Kirkpatrick.
Back.
Tyler Croft, John Ross, Nick Vigil. Two of those three obviously are going to be out for some time.
Yeah, Ross through the bye. Vigil continue. Yeah, he'll be through the bye too. He continues to on the mend. He'll probably be in that Baltimore, Cleveland, whatever that range is over there. Croft finally, for the first time, spoke about his injury with us this week. It has been a very confusing couple of weeks for him. As he had something, he tried to play through it and realized he couldn't. And then it looked like he might have to have surgery. And then he saw multiple specialists. And they said, "Mate, you don't think you do need to have surgery. And you can there." But there was really no timeline. They couldn't figure out. Now, finally, they feel like they have a process. They know what it is. Now he's not talking about the timeline. He's not talking about specifically what it is. He said he planned to be up and going in a couple of weeks. Now, up and going could mean on the rehab field. That could mean back to practice. I guess it could mean playing, but I doubt it. But they have a process for him. I mean, they need – I think it's also a thing where maybe even some years you would consider shutting him down.
Right.
But if there's any chance at any point this year he can come back – you have to keep that hope alive because they don't have any other answers in the tight end room.
Yeah, and just like with Billy Price, I mean, when you weigh 250 pounds or 300 pounds and you have a foot injury, the only thing you can do is just stay off of it and just keep getting reevaluated every 2 weeks.
Yep, that's it.
Adolphus Washington.
He came back.
Coccyx. Did I say that right? That's tailbone for
I
us
say
normies.
I call it tailbone.
Well, let me tell you.
I don't like to use that language.
I put that out on the Twitters yesterday. Quickly got a text message from my girlfriend. She and I are heavily in the real estate game here in Cincinnati, so I was expecting something. And the text message said, Have I never told you about the time I broke my coccyx?
How about that?
I said, I don't have time for this right now.
I'm said, really yeah. involved right. in other things.
Right. Other stuff going on. Tell me later.
So that's been your injury minute.
Minute and a half this week.
Yeah, sponsored by Cincinnati Orthopedics. You know, I mean, it's crazy what's going on. I mean, it really does feel like find a damn way to win this tilt and get to that bye. Because we didn't even mention Preston Brown, who's crawling to the bye, as we said earlier in the show. We even mentioned a lot of these guys who are playing through stuff.
CJ Uzama's
playing.
He's taped up all over.
Dude, these guys are really beat up, and I think everyone just sees this as we have to just. I go back. I use this analogy a lot, and my wife and I love talking about this. And it's from Apollo 13 when they tell them that you have to find a way to take all the pieces from this mm-hmm. and put it into the hole for that. That's where they're at right now. It's like, right. Here's what we have, and we've got to beat this team with these guys. How do we do it for 1 week?
Yeah,
we need this win, and then we got to get to the bye, and then we feel like things, you can weather the storm a little bit. We're in Apollo 13 mode right now.
It's just reverse.
You know, you got to rip off the cover sheet to the instruction manual and shove that in the side. That's like Jordan Franks, you know. I mean, it's kind of where you're at. Like, it's just, how do we make these guys work for us somehow? So I'll ask you that, Fletcher Page. How do they make this work against the Bucks? How do you find a way to make this work?
Well, I don't need to talk about cardboard and duct tape. I just need Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I certainly think, you know, we've talked about maybe they had all these great plans surely for Tyler Eifert or with three tight end sets, all these things that are sort of out the window, at least for the short term. And then you just got to get back to, I think, two things, Joe Mixon and A.J. Green. Obviously, the Buccaneers know that, but it's not like their defense is exactly world beaters out there either. So
no. Their secondary's bad. Their whole defense has been bad.
Worst in the league.
They just lost Quan Alexander. You know, they still have some pretty nice pass rushers. They're very active up front. You know, look, the Bengals still have their offensive line, which quietly has not been bad this year. I mean, everybody wants to rip on Alex Redmond and all his pressures, and the Westerman Hive is buzzing. But they have not been terrible. Mixon and Bernard, both your two stud running backs, are averaging 4.6 yards a carry. You got to ride those guys. You know, when we're talking about how the other dudes aren't giving you enough, they have to kind of get back to a little bit of basics of running the ball, because it's really the one thing where they have everybody, you know, most of it healthy. You know, if you need to run it out of your three wides, that's fine. But you need to find a way to run it and run it a lot and kind of try to shove it down the Bucs' throat and go from there, because as bad as their secondary has been, like, I don't know that I can consistently say that Cody Core or now up Josh Malone or Alex Erickson or Jordan Franks or Matt Langle, all guys who are going to be your other options, and even CJ, can beat many people one-on-one consistently. They haven't shown that so far. They didn't show that in Kansas City. What else do you got? I think you got to go back to some old school, hammer it down their throats. Joe Mixon has all kinds of ability to take over a game. They need this to be a Joe Mixon game, the Joe Mixon game. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, running in out of the backfield, catching passes. They need A.J., Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon. It can work for 1 week. And then you can sort of regroup and understand what you got when you make the turn.
The defense stopping a soul wouldn't hurt either.
That would be nice.
So William Jackson's going to travel with DeSean Jackson this week, which he told us, which I don't know if he was supposed to, but he did, which is interesting. So that means you're going to see a lot of Drake Kirkpatrick on Mike Evans. It makes sense from their perspective in that, you know, William Jackson and DeSean Jackson are very similar types of people. Fast,
5'10".
Yeah, smaller. It's not going to be a physical game. Whereas Mike Evans would try to bully William.
Totally.
Use his size. Dre, for all you want to say about him, he's much more of a fighter. He's taller. He's longer. He can compete on those deep balls they like to throw to Mike Evans up top. Mike Evans isn't going to run away from people as much. I think they're similar. So I think they're better matchups. You know, we'll see how much they try to move those guys inside of the slot to get them off of them. DeSean Jackson hasn't really done much of anything since those first 2 weeks. I mean, there's a reason why he was screaming for Ryan Fitzpatrick to stay the quarterback. Right. You know, I had that in the PFF numbers this week. Mm-hmm. In the dive, you look at DeSean Jackson, 5 for 5 on deep balls the first 2 weeks of the season and 1 for 7 since.
Right.
I mean, they can't. Him and Jameis just haven't been able to, and they were terrible at it last year. He was one of the worst in the league at catch percentage on deep passes last year. DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, he only had 2 catches last week, but he did have a rushing touchdown, 14-yard rushing touchdown. Yeah. So
they're going to use him in different ways, but you know, the Bengals are most worried about the over the top, and feel like if they can contain that, you can kind of contain this Bucs offense a little bit.
I'm going to bring this up again because they were able to keep the top on the defense last week against the Chiefs, crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
And they did a decent job over the middle. It's the tackling, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't miss tackles if you're going to do such a good job covering up the top. So.
And everybody's favorite game of looking back at the 2017 draft will happen. And
oh, yeah.
O.J. Howard was a popular Bengals pick.
I didn't mean to lead us down this path.
It's okay. O.J. Howard was a very popular mocked pick for the Bengals and sure would make sense now as we talk about their tight end room being beat up. And he will be on the other side. He could be trouble as well. We talk about the Bengals linebackers, how much they've struggled. So there's a lot.
I think
there's a lot going on there.
Are you feeling like hammering the over? It's 54.
That always seems pretty easy choice with this when – we're in this run of 3 straight games where the over makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, with New Orleans coming up too.
New Orleans' defense is bad and their offense is great.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's offense is pretty good and their defense is bad. Kansas City was the same way, which the under actually hit thanks to the Bengals' offense being so inept. But which is crazy. But anyway, so yeah, I feel like it should be a high-scoring game. That would be my gut on it. What do you got prediction-wise? We'll do our predictions, and then we'll bring in PFF and BTS.
I think we're going to be knocking on 60 points here. I think both teams are going to score big play style. But I'm taking Cincinnati to win 31-28. It's going to mix in a Randy field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like, you know, Tampa Bay has been good against the run. They've still, you know, Gerald McCoy's been in the league, what, 10 years now? Pierre Paul, 9 years. Mm-hmm. They got some old hats over there that can still do their job on the defensive line. So I'm really interested in that Joe Mixon versus the defensive line of Tampa Bay. But I think this is going to be an A.J. Green day. I'm seeing a couple touchdowns for him.
Yep. I kind of spoiler alerted this earlier in the week, but I think the Bengals win. I think they win going away. I love the wounded animal. I love the way they've responded. I really do believe in the way they've responded and made this a big deal game and understanding of that. And I just think in this league, as injured as they are, I just – with the bye right there, I feel like there's this feeling of all in for this week amongst this group and understanding how huge it is and stewing all week. I believe in that, and I – It makes sense to me that they would be able to win. And I just don't think the Bucs are very good in win going away. So, you know, I have 37-24 was the final that I have. I should have gone 34-23 again. I'm still waiting for that score
to hit again.
You know, they always come in 3, so I'm still waiting for that score to come back. God damn it, missed opportunity. Oh, well, that's the score that I have written. That's what it is. Make sure you pick up the game day section or check it out at Cincinnati.com right now. I have a big story on why the hell the offense is declining, kind of really diving into some interesting, not just numbers, but, you know, trends that we've seen within the team and from the way they're being treated by other teams in that story. So check that out. Obviously, BTS is up on the site. I recommend it. Good stuff with Carl Lawson. You can listen to some of that coming up here. Listen at PFF. The walkout will be coming in Sunday, of course. And even though they'll go on a bye next week, we will not quit on you. Reminder, Tuesday night, Beyond the Stripes will be back live. It's not a reunion tour. It's a reunion show. We're back in the Holy Grail for one time. Sam Hubbard is going to be our guest. That's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks. Sam Hubbard will be down there. We will drink. We will eat. We will talk football. You can meet Sam Hubbard, get his autograph, hug him. Don't hug him. Take a selfie. We prefer no touching. but come on down to Holy Grail Banks next Tuesday. We'll be down there with that. Should be a great time. So looking forward to all that stuff to look forward to coming up, coming your way. So anyway, here is Austin Gale from Pro Football Focus and then our Beyond the Stripes with Carl Lawson. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you after the game on Sunday.
All right, excited again to bring in our good friend Austin Gale from Pro Football Focus over and over the Rhine as they look at every player in every game pretty much forever. We'll date him back to 2006, at least, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
you shouldn't need to go back farther than that to find, you know, how bad the Bengals' defense has been in tackling. It was, in fact, if we had it gauged correctly, the most missed tackles by a Bengals team since you guys started grading in Sunday's game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's correct. It's pretty incredible how many missed tackles they've had. And it kind of starts and almost ends at linebacker play when your core linebackers are missing a lot of missed tackles. It's always going to lead to more missed tackles from the secondary and just the entire defense just having a very hard time, you know, bringing people down. Just because if you break that tackle at the second level, it becomes so much harder for your secondary to also make tackles. And it's been a very bad tackling performance for this Bengals team.
Let's talk about those linebackers, and I'll let you have the glory of wheeling up stat that you had yesterday about them being targeted. How bad has that been, and how obvious has it been that that group has been the reason that teams keep moving the chains on them?
Yeah, Hardy Nickerson, it just looks like he doesn't belong, and I think that's a little harsh, but at the same time, when you look at this guy in coverage, but whether it's zone or man, he's out of position, you know, always two steps away from the intended receiver, and that's why he ranks third worst in pass rating allowed this year. There's only two other linebackers that have really played worse or allowed more production on the other side of the ball in coverage. And to see how he's played, and then now you have the injuries to Devontae Perfect and still Nick Vigil, it's going to be very concerning to see this guy play even more snaps, even though he has played the third most snaps, you know, of any linebacker on the team right now.
And he's not been alone. So did I see that it was they've allowed 48 first downs when targeted, which is 10 more than any other team in the NFL's linebacker group?
Yeah, that's correct. And that was a stat I almost had to double check because I was so, you know, so blown away by, you know, when you're looking at, you know, the PFF data and you're looking at stats and people who lead or people who are the worst, and you see significant separation, you know, that big standard deviation of a team way higher than everyone else, you want to go back into, like, the feeds and look at, is this really true? And it is. The 48 first downs, well, the second team to allow the most out of linebacker is 38. And that's just incredible. I think that goes from, okay, your linebackers are bad, they're not playing well in coverage, to, okay, offenses know your linebackers are bad, and we're coming to them every time we need a first down. And that's a bigger concern than when, you know, they're getting picked on organically. It looks like now with, you know, that kind of number, they're getting picked on, you know, purposely.
Yeah. Let's flip it forward, you know, to Tampa Bay. You know, what sticks out about that? You know, you go through some of the, obviously their defense, has been particularly bad. They've really been ravaged by injury there too. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul has had a lot of pressures, and obviously that sticks back. Via your numbers, what when you look at Tampa Bay, what does some of the analytics say about the way they're actually playing?
Their secondary is, I'd say, one of the worst or the worst in football. Or right now, as a defense of the 32 teams, they've allowed the highest pass rating to opposing quarterbacks. When they send more than four rushers, they've allowed the highest pass rating among all 32 defenses. No matter who they're sending or what they're doing, they are struggling against the pass, and I think it's going to be a big opportunity for A.J. Green and Andy Dalton and even Joe Mixon to get involved in the passing game as well to pick on this defense and put a lot of points on the board. Even if they're off, you know, if their defense struggles, the linebackers struggle to cover some of their guys. I think DeSean Jackson is having a career year. That could be a tough matchup for any quarterback on the Bengals right now. But I think they can put up points on this team. And if they do, I think they're going to be able to come out with a W.
Absolutely. Tons of good stuff. Make sure everyone heads over to PFF. If you don't have a subscription now, Edge, Elite are all there for you. And they're here for all your gambling needs with Greenline. I assume that your pockets are just overflowing right now having access to the Greenline folks.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in Greenline every week looking at which pick I should be betting on right now. And especially with, you know, George and Eric Eager are two kind of big data analysts. They give out our pick, you know, our lock of the week, and just betting on that has been a fantastic success for me. I would definitely go to profootballfocus.com, subscribe to Leafs, subscribe to Edge, and if not, read all of our content. We got a big mid-season all-pro team coming out next week. We got some exciting stuff on the books.
Your lottery ticket's all busted, but it doesn't matter. Get it all back by going over and getting some green line going. I like it. All right, thanks all for your time. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Sounds good.
All right, it's now that time on BTS. We welcome our guest to the stage. That's Bengals second-year defensive end, Carl Lawson. Carl, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you.
This is our favorite time. I like to play fill in the blank. Okay, so with you here, I feel like I have come up with an appropriate question. So fill in the blank. Pass rushing in the NFL is blank. Lindsay, I'll let you start it off. What do you got?
I want to say speed fast. I think you have to be pretty fast at getting to the pass rush, and we live in a passing league right now in the NFL, so I feel like that is important.
Speed or fast? Or did you invent fast?
I like to say both at the same time because they're so important.
Speed fast.
Pretty much the same thing.
Created your own word is
yes,
what you
I
went
did.
With.
It's important.
You don't have to create your own word. In fact, we prefer you don't. Fletcher, do you have?
I'm going with a phrase.
Okay.
I think it's the soul of the game. It's
oh, there you go.
Blocking, beating your man, beating blocks, altering the pocket. I think it's a fun chess match. It's always something we're tracking as a measure for success.
Yeah. What do you say, Carl?
It's like shooting a fly.
Shooting a fly? Yeah.
Shooting a fly.
I like that.
Yeah.
How so?
You can win. But, you know, you got to, you know, get the fly and get a sack. It's like shooting a fly. You know what I'm saying? You shoot so many shots and then... Yeah, you know.
I like that. So getting the sack is actually hitting the fly.
It's actually hitting the fly.
It's very hard to do. See, because to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, because to me, I would say pass rushing in the NFL is about pressures. I mean, people get obsessed with sacks, and they're important, and Lord knows contracts are based on them.
And we like to measure things.
But disrupting timing and getting pressures is, to me, the most important part of pass rushing in the league, especially when teams are trying to always stay on rhythm and get the ball out fast. Would you view it through that lens?
I'd view it through that lens, and yeah, like, that's important, but at the same time, as a player, and as just the way this league is, you measure yourself based off of sacks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, pressure, and that's what pass rush is, disrupting the quarterback's feet, disrupting his timing, not letting him get the ball off, but at the same time, for us players, we measure it by sacks.
And you even had Patrick Mahomes this past week, and a guy like Jameis Winston, that's a test for your defense right now.
I do, but I've been around a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of offenses. This is no shot at, you know, Tampa Bay's offense or at anything, but, you know, what we've seen with Patrick Mahomes right now is special.
Yeah. So. How is the construction of their offense make it harder to get to him? I mean, obviously, they're one of the leaders with the RPO movement and getting the ball out fast, but does that change the way you have to approach pass rushing when a team is so quick with the ball and things like that?
I wouldn't say necessarily because a lot of people throw the ball quick. We saw that in the Colts game this first year, but with him, it's a little bit different as far as keeping him in the pocket. And, you know, that's how he beat the Broncos. That's how he beat a lot of different people like that. I mean, not saying he can't throw the ball in the pocket, but he can do a lot of things with his legs. So you just gotta surround this guy. You know, it's like chasing a chicken. You know, with a bunch of people, you gotta get him cornered. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, but we didn't do that, so.
We're very animal related here. We're shooting flies.
Yeah,
we're chasing chickens.
Yeah.
We're all over the farm. We're all over the farm this summer. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna be right back. It's gonna be time for the hot seat here on Beyond the Stripes with Carl Lawson. We are
back on Beyond the Stripes, and this is the segment known as the Hot Seat. Carl last year decided it wasn't very hot. We will try to up our game this year. Let's start with this. You are a student of pass rushers. Who in your mind is the best in the league right now?
There's so many good guys. On a consistent basis, I probably have to say maybe Chandler Jones or even my boy D Ford. Coming out of Kansas City right now.
Yeah,
yeah. Those are two that's just been like really consistently getting after the quarterback. You know?
Who's the best in history?
Best in history, I mean, definitely Reggie White. I mean, I don't think people will argue that.
I would argue Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, I kind of look at it in perspective. Lawrence Taylor was ridiculous player, but a lot of times, you know, teams didn't really know how to block him because they would get him on backs and tight ends. I mean, Reggie White was just straight out here mauling everybody on the offensive line, you know, from tackles to guards whoever you wanted to. So that's just my opinion.
So that answers my next question, which is Bruce Smith or Reggie White? Have to be Reggie White, I guess.
Yeah, but I might say Bruce Smith because I could do more what Bruce did probably. You know, try to be more like him. I wasn't 300 pounds like Reggie, so.
J.J. Watt or Khalil Mack?
Even though I'm probably, you know, want to favor more Khalil Mack, I mean, you probably have to say J.J. because J.J., you know, swats a lot of passes. You know, he can rush against guards and he can rush against tackles. You know, he's just in a position to be more effective. When you're on the edge, it's not necessarily that you can be limited. It's just, you know, they can chip you. They can do other things like that. I mean, but when you can line a guy up on all the weaknesses of the offensive line, that's, you know, it becomes a little bit more effective. And that's why Aaron Donald's the best player in the game right now because, I mean, you know.
Tell me when you said this. I just saw my teeth in the air.
That was Cleveland last year.
Yeah, they flew right out of your mouth, right? You got them all chipped up?
I don't recall that. I think my teeth are in my mouth right now, so I'm good.
But you got them all fixed like the very next day.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no recollection of that.
I don't think I've ever asked anybody that question. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I just saw my teeth in the air.
I have no recollection.
You said when camp started this year that your goal is to be ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm.
How far along are you in that quest?
So far off.
So far off?
Yeah, as far as being where I want to be, but all I can do is just keep working.
Yeah. How many pass rush moves do you have?
Do I use or do I have?
Have.
I have a bunch, probably like five or six.
Okay. Do you have nicknames for any of them?
No, I mean everybody calls them different stuff. Everybody's got like a name for, it'd be like stab swat, hump move, stab trap, torque. I mean, dip, you know, up and under, you know, a bunch of stuff that they call them. Everybody calls them different things. But
because I have a few suggestions for personal names for your moves. Would you like to hear them?
Yeah, sure. I see where this is going.
The Lawson Loop. When you come off the edge. All right. You're not crazy with that one? How about, this ain't no bull. Bull rush. It's not even looking. That wasn't good either?
It's not that it wasn't good. It was just...
I got one more. All right? How about the Carl Anthony Lawson Jr. Atomic Butt Crusher?
I definitely don't like that one.
You don't?
No. Let me go back. See, I should have. I thought this was going to get better as it went on, but nah. We should probably go back to the first two.
I did get better as it went on.
See, no, it was humbling because, I mean, I was like, I don't want that, I don't want that. And then you gave me that, and I was like,
You really don't want that.
Nah, so I'll go with the other two before I go with the butt crusher.
have the new tackling rules impacted you in any way?
Of course.
How so?
Get flagged.
Well, no kidding, but I mean, you watched that game last week where Brady scored the touchdown. Mm-hmm. And the guy said afterwards, the Chiefs guy said afterwards, because I was afraid it won't be me.
I'll just, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just, unfortunately, just get the flag.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I watched the play, and I'm not sure if he thought the ball was out. Because sometimes when you're playing quarterbacks like that, you just like, you rush, get the ball out.
Yeah.
You know, keep throwing out. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. What did anybody interview him and ask him what happened on that play?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he thought that maybe Brady had gotten the ball out.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what that was.
But he also said he was afraid to draw that flag for nailing a quarterback.
Nah, because I mean, because the way it was, he wasn't going into the play with like a lot of momentum. I watched it a couple of times, so it wasn't like one of those things where he was going to smack him. It was going to be a play where he literally takes him and slung him down.
Yeah.
So. Me personally, it doesn't really affect me as much as unless I, you know, just keep rushing.
Unless you work in that atomic butt crusher move.
No.
You play football at Auburn. There are Auburn people and there are Alabama people. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? And what makes you an Auburn person?
The fact that you represent Auburn, that you went to Auburn, you bleed orange and blue. That's what an Auburn person would say.
Is there a difference in personality and who the people are and how they act? And
I don't want to see. I feel like this is a setup question because I'm just gonna. This is a chance for me to just slam people who are Alabama fans.
Hell yeah, go ahead.
Nah, but you know I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. There's a difference, but I mean you know I'll let you get like a regular. Auburn fan to tell you.
All right. Would you ever consider naming your son Bo Jackson Lawson?
No, I would not consider naming my son Bo Jackson Lawson. But I do have some ridiculous names I'm going to name my kids, though.
Like what?
I might give one of my kids Goku.
What?
You know what Goku is? Dragon Ball Z?
Goku?
Yeah, Goku no. Lawson. Or Gladiator, Maximus Decimus Meridius Lawson.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Or... There's a bunch of cool names I named my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not Bo Jackson Lawson.
Nah, I'm not a. I mean, I'm an Auburn fan, but I'm not like a. Oh, Bo.
You know? Yeah, okay. You said this on Instagram, quote, "It ain't how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done." Elaborate on that.
It pretty much means just like, keep pushing, even when things aren't going your way.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I gotta take it. You know, especially with the way my season's going. For me, just personally, because I have so many big goals that I had and you know, that I continue to have, but I can't get discouraged. You know, so that's pretty much what that meant.
Well, and you've had some experience with that. You had some injuries in college.
Mm-hmm.
You missed the whole year because of a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hip problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you got drafted in the fourth round, and a lot of folks, including yourself, I'm guessing, thought you'd be going a little higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know of what you speak.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did your dad get tired of you asking him football questions? Like when you were a little kid coming back from practice, he said once that he just wanted that father-son relationship without it being like about football nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely annoy him all the time about football because I love the game. But then again, he did a great job, and I think a lot of parents today, they push something on kids, they push sports on kids, or they push certain things. I mean, you know, especially football, unless you truly have a love for it, you know, you kind of get fed up with it. So my dad really tried to stay away from pushing football towards me. He was a coach, but he was a running backs coach for Little League. You know, he would try not to give me too much special attention because he didn't want to ever be that dad. So I had to go out and seek the sport for myself. And then if I needed help, I would always ask him. He'd be there to give it to me. But yeah, man, I'd definitely annoy him.
Yeah, and your dad, we should say, was also on the 1990 Georgia Tech National Championship team, so he also had a little experience. Do you learn something every day, or try to?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do, because, I mean, you know, you can never stop, you know, getting better. You can never stop working on your craft. You can never, you know, you can never have enough, you know? So I definitely try to learn something new each and every day, whether it be football or just in life or just talking to different people. So, yeah.
What have you learned today?
I learned that I don't want to be called butt crusher.
Atomic
butt crusher.
Yeah.
That was a big thing that came out today.
All right. So. Tell me something that you've never told another media person. Tell me a Carl Lawson secret.
Secret. Yeah.
Just between us, you understand?
Carl Lawson secret. I really see this is the hottest thing you asked me. This is the hot, on the hot seat. Like, I don't know what to tell you because I don't really have that many secrets.
What did you have for breakfast?
I didn't.
You didn't eat breakfast?
No, I slept in today. I used this day to sleep in. It's 11 o'clock. I woke up at 10, brushed my teeth. I was like, I'll get some
breakfast. Got to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because you're a pro.
No, pros eat their breakfast and make sure they take care of their body, so I need to get better at that.
What are you going to have for lunch?
I don't know. It's whatever my chef makes.
How come all these players have chefs?
I don't know. It's not like
you
a
guys
personal.
Have chefs? No.
It's not like a personal chef, but this year I wanted to, keep my body in better shape and stuff like that. Because especially when it got cold and I live in Hyde Park last year, I was eating up everything that was over there. So this year I wanted to have healthier meals and stuff like that. So it's that she drops it off at the stadium. You know, so that's what I don't know what I'm going to have for lunch. But I know
I have oatmeal for breakfast every morning.
I like oatmeal.
You like oatmeal? Mm-hmm. Brown sugar?
Brown sugar. Peanut butter? No, see.
Applesauce?
I know. Once I stopped it after brown sugar, that was it.
How are you going to make today better than yesterday, Carl Lawson?
Watch a lot of film, take care of my body. I don't know. Maybe even help like somebody in need today. I don't know. It's a long day, so.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to right now?
Studying some film, honestly.
You're looking forward to studying film? You like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a real film hawk. All right. Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
How did you come up with Butt Crusher? Like, we're not going to get off this topic.
How did I come up with that?
Yeah.
I just thought it sounded cool. I think you should use that. Maybe I'll use that the next time you make a sack, man. If you record a sack on Jameis Winston this week, I'm going to call that the Carl Anthony Lawson Jr. Atomic Butt Crusher.
Please don't.
And you are off the hot seat, my friend. With that, thank you for joining us. We will be back momentarily with more Beyond the Stripes.